Thank you, Brother Rick, and music team and congregation. You know, the Bible tells us that in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. Now, I trust that you're experiencing that joy today. I believe Rick has done a fine job of leading us right into the presence of the Most High God through this experience of worship, because the Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. That means he's here, you're here. Let's meet him where we are this morning and let him minister to us as only he can through the person and the presence and the power of his Holy Spirit. We've been talking about joy, the joy that's found in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul wrote a letter to the church at Philippi. And in that letter, he says he wrote it that our joy might be made full. As you read through the entire epistle of Philippians, you can't help but see that Paul desperately wants believers to experience the joy of Jesus. You know, I think it's sad when you go to church and you're greeted with folks who look like they've been weaned on dill pickle juice and vaccinated with vinegar. We ought not look that way. The joy of Jesus ought to flow through us. The last time we were together, we looked at the fellowship, at joy that's found in Christian fellowship. This morning, I want to point you to a second source for genuine joy in the Christian life. And you're going to think this is an odd place to think that you would find joy here. But as Paul continues in this first chapter, beginning about the 12th verse, Paul tells us that if you want to know Christian joy, if you want to know joy that's filled to overflowing, then you're going to find it in Christian service. You're going to find it not in sitting in the pew, not in passively pursuing just this religious ritualistic lifestyle. You're going to find real joy in serving Jesus and in serving his bride, the church. You know, I've watched our society change dramatically over my 56 years of existence. We've moved a long way from a service-oriented society to a society that really just says, serve me. How many of you remember when we used to pull up to a gas pump at a little building we used to call a service station, and a nice-looking gentleman would come out to the car, dressed usually in a white uniform with a little tie on. He would greet you at your window, and he'd say, "How may I help you today?" You would tell him, "I'll take a dollar's worth," and he would go back and stick the nozzle in your gas tank, and he would begin pumping fuel for you. And then he'd come to your window and say, "Is it all right if I check under your hood?" He'd open your hood, and he'd check the various fluid levels and the belts to make sure they were all in good shape. And when he'd finish that, he'd take that little silver tire gauge out of his pocket, and he'd go from tire to tire and make sure that all of your tires were at their right tire pressure. And all the while he's doing that, he's filling your tank with 19 cent a gallon gas. Wasn't that good? Those were the days of service. Hard to find a station like that today, isn't it? I know of one in Abilene that has a choice. You can pull up to a self-service pump or you can pull up to a full-service pump. It's hard to find guys that want to make their living and want to serve their customers that way. There's a certain big box store that most of you know about that sells housewares and clothing and tools that have a lifetime guarantee. And they used to sell a lot of appliances, still sell a lot. And people chose to buy their appliances. I can't tell you the name. I know you're trying to figure it out. There's an S at each end of the name with an ear in the middle. That's all I can tell you. But they would buy their appliances there because they had such a great history of service. But if you buy from them today, good luck. If your appliance breaks down, you might have to wait a week or two. We've moved away from the concept and the value of service in our society. And let me tell you something. I'm going to go to meddling. There's a lot of professing believers who have discounted the value of their personal service to the church, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, and their service to the Savior who loved them enough to die on the cross in their place. Listen, you're not going to know the fullness of the joy of Jesus if you're not committed to and involved in a life and a ministry of service personally. You're just not going to find it If you're not plugged in some form of service to the body of Christ, that's the way God intends it. That's the way that Jesus describes it. That's the way Paul writes about it in our passage of Scripture this morning. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, open them up to that letter to the church at Philippi, Philippians chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 12, and if you would do the honor of standing as we read God's word in respect to his encouragement, his advice, and his admonition to us as we seek joy. Now, got a question. Anybody here could use just a little more joy in your life? Anybody? Some of you just flat out lying this morning. I know we could. I'm raising my hand. I'll take more joy. He says, now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has actually resulted in the advancement of the gospel. Now, what's happened to Paul? He's writing this letter from a Roman prison cell. Now, if anybody had anything to whine or complain about, Paul could have, but he didn't. He's talking to us about joy. What's happened to me has actually resulted in the advancement of the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for the sake of Christ. Most of the brothers in the Lord have gained confidence from my imprisonment and dare even more to speak the message fearlessly. Some, to be sure, preach Christ out of envy and strife, but others out of goodwill. These do so out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of rivalry, not sincerely seeking to cause me trouble in my imprisonment. But what does it matter? Just that in every way, whether out of false motives or true, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, because I know this will lead to my deliverance through your prayers and help from the Spirit of Jesus Christ. My eager expectation and hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but now as always, with all boldness, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, living is Christ and dying is gain. Now, if I live on in the flesh, this means more fruitful work for me, and I don't know which one I should choose. I'm pressed by both. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am persuaded of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your advancement and for the joy of your faith, so that because of me, your confidence may grow in Christ Jesus when I'm privileged to come to you again. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. There is joy in service, and even from a prison cell, when things couldn't have been going worse personally and physically for the Apostle Paul, he writes to his friends and his fellow believers in the city of Philippi and says, I want you to have joy. I want you to experience joy in your life. Now, the truth is, listen to me, every person seated in a pew this morning is a servant to someone or to something. You cannot go through life without serving someone or serving something. You're going to be a servant. Let me encourage you this morning. Listen carefully to the advantages of choosing to give yourself to the service of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the only way you will ever experience true and fulfilling joy in service is by submitting yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We see that in the life of the author of this wonderful letter, the Apostle Paul. Let's take a closer look. Paul submits himself as a servant of the gospel of Jesus Christ. From the cold, dark surroundings of a prison cell, Paul said, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm here in jail, but even here in this mess that it seems my life has become, God is using me to proclaim the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Everybody has a purpose to which they dedicate their lives. The truth is, some live for work. Some live for pleasure. Some live for recognition. Still others live for possessions, and on the list could go. You've got to determine, what are you living your life for? Well, what is it that's most important to you? What is your top priority. You look at me and say, Pastor, I don't know. I really think it is the church. I think it is Christ. Well, let me give you a test. Here's a way that you can evaluate what's really most important in your life. This will tell the truth even when your mind and your heart will deceive you. You're going to need two instruments to figure out what's most important in your life, okay? The first instrument is a calendar. You're going to need last year's calendar so you can review where you've spent most of your time over the last 365 days and evenings, okay? The second instrument is your checkbook and probably your credit card statement. You're going to take those two items and you're going to see where you spend the most of your time and where you spend the most of your resources. And if you're real honest, you're going to find out that's what's most important to you in this world. So, what are you serving? Are you living your entire life just so that you can live in a bigger, fancier home? There's nothing wrong with having a nice, luxurious, comfortable home. But if that's all you're living for, think about it. There's going to come a day when they will move you out of that house down to a little 4x6 dirt plot, and they'll put you in a box and bury you beneath the sod, and the house will belong to somebody else. Are you working overtime and extra hours just so you can drive a fancier, more luxurious car? Really? Listen, the best car I ever owned was a 1972 Gran Torino with 351 Cleveland engine in it that would run like a scared cat. You know where it's at today? It's in the junkyard. It's scrap metal. Are you really giving your life so that you can climb the ladder of success and become the most respected person in your industry? Really? That's temporary too. At 65, they'll give you a gold watch and send you out the back door. Come on. If you're looking for joy in life, you need to serve something that you know that has lasting and eternal value that makes a difference in this messed up world that we live in. And I can think of nothing that has equal value, nothing that has eternal significance like choosing to serve the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ. From inside this less than comfortable prison cell, Paul recognizes that his hardships were another necessary investment in what was most important to him, and that is the propagation, the spreading of the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Paul was investing in the only thing that can produce an eternal reward. Whatever we choose to do to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ will yield for us eternal rewards. I love Revelation 22:12. There Jesus makes this bold promise and announcement. Behold, I'm coming soon, and my reward is with me to give every man according to what he has done. If you're looking for joy, lasting joy, eternal joy, there's one place to find it. Choose to commit your life to ministry of serving the gospel of Jesus Christ. Secondly, Paul submitted himself as a servant to the lost that surrounded him while addressing his beloved Christian friends in the church at Philippi. Paul wanted them to know that he was where he was so he could serve as a messenger to the guards, so that he could tell them about Jesus Christ and his saving grace. Locked away in a prison cell, Paul's assuring his friends, I'm here so that the lost can come to know Jesus Christ. Listen to verse 13. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and everyone else that I'm in chains for the gospel of Christ. What if whatever you do every day, all day long, what if you came to the place where, like Paul, you realize the most important thing I can do is look for opportunities to pray for the lost and share Christ's love with the lost? Wherever you're at. Ladies, you spend a lot of time at the grocery store. What if every time you walked in the grocery store, you just said, God, I got my eyes open. Show me somebody who needs to know that you love them, that you care about them, and that you have a plan for them that would last for all eternity. Guys, what if every time you went to work, those people who get on your nerves, those people who grate you so severely, what if every time you saw one of them, you said, oh God, could this be the day that you would allow me the privilege of sharing your love with them and telling them about the saving grace that's available because of the death of Christ on the cross of Calvary? What if, like Paul, even in the confines of that prison cell, he determined that even in the midst of my troubles, I'm going to surrender myself right here where I am going through what I'm going through to the purpose of leading the lost to Jesus Christ. My, what a difference we would make in our community if all of us decided to. We'd have to leave the water in the baptistry full time. We just have to heat it like the jacuzzi, keep it churning. Wouldn't that be great? Let me tell you, I know some people like that. There are some people in this room who have been through that situation, who lying on a hospital bed, racked with pain, who determined that in the midst of their hardship, they're just going to share the love of Jesus Christ. They got a chance, they're going to lead their nurse into relationship with Jesus Christ. They determined that even in their hardships, they would be a servant of the gospel in the face of the lost that they encountered. Listen, if you want real joy, you commit yourself to being a servant of the gospel, willing to lead others to Christ. I'm going to tell you the truth. I know of only one thing that can make you feel almost as good as the day you trusted Christ as your Savior, and that's leading another into relationship with Jesus. Do you remember that awe-inspiring feeling that you had that came over you the day you trusted Christ as your Savior? Wasn't that remarkable? You want to experience that again? The closest thing I know to that remarkable feeling that's the river of God's blessings flowing from heaven is the privilege of helping someone else pray the sinner's prayer and invite Jesus into their heart. That's the greatest joy you will know on the face of the earth outside of your own salvation experience. And yet the devil says, I can't do that. Or the devil tells you, you better be afraid of that. That's something the preachers are paid to do. And yet Jesus has called us to be witnesses of him in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the remote parts of the earth. He said, when the Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. Listen, Paul committed himself as a servant to the lost. He endured the hardships of that Roman prison in order that he might tell the guards about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then Paul also submitted himself as a servant to Christ. Paul declared in verse 20, my eager expectation, my hope is that I will not be ashamed about anything, but that now, as always, with all boldness, Christ will be highly honored in my body, whether by life or by death. Paul said, I'm committed to serving Christ, and I don't want to do anything in my life that would cause him to be ashamed of me. Oh, that we as God's people would be so committed to Christ that we would do our dead level best to ensure that nothing that we think, nothing that we say, nothing that we do would bring shame to the one who loved us so much that he was willing to die on the cross of Calvary for us. Real joy for the child of God will never be experienced apart from a full surrender as a servant to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I was a young man, the lure of business and success and prosperity pulled me away from the call of God that I felt on my life, even as a senior in high school. You see, I had the luxury of knowing that at a certain point in my life, my father would retire from my family-owned business and I would become the rightful heir, and that I would be in charge of that business. And it was a very lucrative business. And I wanted to experience all the privileges that come with a successful business venture. I wanted to know what it was like to live a life of wealth and success. We did pretty good. But I discovered real joy when the day came that I finally said yes to Christ and to God's will, and I walked away from that business and assumed a ministry role at a meager salary, far below sufficient to provide for the needs of our family. But we were being obedient to his call. We've never experienced greater joy in our lives or in our family than when we agreed as a family to fully surrender ourselves to the call of Christ to full-time ministry. And listen, there's no going back. I wouldn't for anything. This is where God has called me to be. Make sure that in your life you have sought out His call, whatever that may be, whether it's in the field of teaching in the high schools or coaching, whether it's nursing or whether it's being a physician, whatever it may be, whether it's in the banking field or in car sales, it doesn't matter what the call is. Make sure you're in the center of His will. And in the center of that position, make sure that you're living out your faith before others, that they might see Christ in you and glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's the only way you'll know the joy that Paul wants us to experience as servants of the Most High God. Finally, Paul submitted himself as a servant to the church. Listen again to Paul's description of his own personal dilemma. He said, I'm pressured by both. I have this desire to depart that I might be at home with Christ, which is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. I am persuaded of this. I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress in joy in the faith, so that because of me, your confidence may grow in Christ Jesus when I come to see you once again. Paul said, listen, I'm ready to go be with Jesus. I know that eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of any man the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. Paul said, I know what's on the other side, and I'm excited and anxious to get there. But he said, nevertheless, it's more important that I stay here to help the church be what God has called the church to be. Paul, having experienced more than his share of suffering, more than his share of hardships, expresses his honest desire. I'm ready to go home and be with Jesus. But as a servant of the church, he said, it's more important that I stay and continue the work that God has started in Philippi. He was committed to the work of the church. Why is it that this generation is so fearful of commitment, especially commitment to a local church? I don't understand it. The fastest growing churches in the state, in the nation today, are the churches that don't suggest commitment. They just say, come, enjoy the experience. The churches that are calling people out to ministries of service, to commitment to the work that's being done, people don't want to attach themselves to that. It's too demanding. It requires too much. But I've got to tell you, I have found that the people who commit themselves to being a part of serving the Lord by serving His church are the people who experience the deepest and greatest joy in life. If you don't believe me, then why don't you sit down and talk to your Sunday school teacher? You know those people do what they do without remuneration from humanity, but the blessings of joy that they receive from being your servant and your teacher gives them a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Talk to them. Don't you appreciate our choir? Do you know how much we pay them every week to do what they do? Not a cent. Why do they do it? Because they find joy in serving the Lord through singing His praises and leading us in worship. Listen, there is no joy like the joy of giving yourself fully to the cause of Christ, that you might be involved in leading others into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but whatever the Scripture says I need for joy, that's what I want. Don't you? You can have joy this morning. I know some of you are going through hardships, difficulties, trials, disappointments. Paul wrote these words from a Roman dungeon. He said you can have joy. You can have joy when you submit yourself as a servant of the gospel. You can have joy when you submit yourself as a servant to the lost. You can have joy when you submit yourself as a servant to Christ. And you can have joy when you submit yourself as a servant to His church. You want joy? What are you serving today? You're serving something. Why don't you tap into a new resource and start serving the Lord, serving the lost, serving the gospel, and serving His church. Father, I pray today that none of us would go away from here just like we were when we came. that having been in your presence, you would do a transformation in our lives that would bring us to the place of greater joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory because of our relationship with you and our commitment to serve you. Father, I pray today that you'd be honored and glorified in this invitation time, that your people would respond in obedience to your call in their life. If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I'm sorry, but you may experience moments of happiness. You might experience glimpses of joy, but you won't know real joy until you know Jesus as your Savior. So this morning, if you're here without Christ, I want to offer you something that money can't buy, something the world can't offer. That's genuine joy through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He's here, and you probably already feel him tugging on your heartstring. Let me tell you, that discomfort that's making you say, I wish that preacher would shut up so I can get out of here. I'm not comfortable here. That is most likely Satan trying to keep you from hearing the voice of the Spirit of God who's calling you into relationship with Jesus Christ. If you would be brave enough, when we began to sing, to take one step towards the aisle and make your way towards the front, you would sense the Spirit of God carrying you into that relationship with Jesus Christ. The first step is difficult. From there, it's as if you fly to the front, because the Spirit of God will carry you through your fears into a relationship with Jesus Christ, where you can know the joy that we've been talking about. When we begin to sing, I challenge you, be courageous enough to come take Roger by the hand or take me by the hand and say, today, I want Jesus as my Savior. Help me. Help me to invite him into my heart. This morning, believers, let's be honest. We need to be the picture of genuine joy. And the truth is, we can't be the picture of genuine joy if we're not giving ourselves to the service of the gospel, to service to the lost around us that desperately need to see Christ's love. If we're not giving service to his bride, the local church, we're not going to be happy. So, in this invitation time, perhaps it's time for you to just surrender all that you are and all that you have and give him first place in your life and surrender to being his servant, saying, wherever you lead, Father, I'll go. Whatever you want from me, that I'll do. If you're here this morning and you're looking for a church home, you need one. The church is the bride of Christ at large. Well, you need to be a part of the wedding party in a local sense. You need to join a local church. And I can't think of a better day to do it than this one right here. If the Spirit of God's calling you to be a part of what he's doing at Wiley Baptist Church, you come. We'll accept you by transfer of letter from another Baptist church. We'll accept you by statement of faith if you've been baptized as a profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll welcome you that way. If you've not been baptized, we encourage you, we challenge you to follow through in believer's baptism and come by way of baptism. You can be a part of what God's doing here. We need you. Christ expects you to be a part of his wedding party. I encourage you to make that commitment this morning. As we stand together and as Rick leads us, let's be obedient, because joy only comes through faithful obedience. As we sing, who'd be the first to step out this morning? Come on. Come on, we're waiting on you. Come on. Today's the day. The Spirit's calling. Come on.